versus Schramm. State versus Schramm. Are you ready, counsel?
My name is Matt Kosmicki. I represent Michael Schramm, the appellant. Michael Schramm, on August 28, 2017, was arrested by Lincoln Police for strangulation of his girlfriend. He was then later charged by information with strangulation, and he entered a plea of not guilty. This matter was tried to a jury over 2 days, April 9th and 10th of 2018. The jury returned a verdict of guilty on the 11th, and on June 28th, the district court sentenced Schramm to 2 years of imprisonment and 12 months of post-release supervision. Mr. Schramm now appeals to this court. We assigned four errors: whether the district court should have sustained his Daubert Rule 402-403 motions regarding the testimony of Sue Mikowski, whether the district court should have sustained our motion to continue the trial in order to retain an expert, medical expert, whether the district court should have given a proposed jury instruction, and then excessive sentence. I kind of can't discuss those first two without giving a little bit of background. This matter was set for trial in April, the first few weeks of April, starting April 9th. When it was set for trial, there were pretrial motion hearing dates already scheduled for March 27th. Early in March of 2017, the state disclosed that they were thinking, or she was thinking, of calling Sue Mikowski, and said that basically that she wasn't going to offer an opinion, just talk about the dynamics of domestic violence and those kind of things. The day before the pretrial hearing, the state disclosed that Ms. Mikowski had been shown pictures of the victim's eyes, and that now was going to offer an opinion that those eyes showed linear vascular congestion, which basically is the small vessels in the eye popping through the exertion of force. So now she's going to offer an opinion. We filed, well, that's not true, not the day before. We filed motions to, back when she did, the state had disclosed they were going to think about calling Ms. Mikowski, I filed motions, Daubert, Schaefer's motions, and 402-403 motions that were also supposed to be argued or at least taken up on the 27th at the pretrial hearing date. So then on the 27th at the hearing, the court addressed those motions, decided we're going to have a hearing. Those hearings were held on the Daubert, Schaefer's things on the 4th and the 6th. The trial was to start on the 9th. The court ultimately determined that Ms. Mikowski could testify as an expert and offer an opinion evidence, and Mr. Schramm asserts that was error. First of all, I think the threshold inquiry here is, does Ms. Mikowski meet an expert under our statutes, and that's 27702. And we'd argue that she doesn't, because, you know, 270702 says that if the person is offering scientific, technical, or other specialized, has those that knowledge, and that will assist the trier of fact to understand the evidence, a witness may qualify as an expert may, by knowledge, skill, experience, training, or education, may testify for, therefore, in the form of an opinion. We submit that Ms. Mikowski the proposed testimony was not going scientific, technical, or specialized. And point to that, during voir dire, I talked to the jury about strangulation, and do you understand what that is? And they all indicated that we know what that is. It's not hard thing to figure out. It's simple. It's cutting off air and blood, and they all understood that. So I think at the threshold, she doesn't even, the opinion evidence or expert, she doesn't meet that threshold. But then you also look at whether a witness qualified as an expert by knowledge, skill, expert training, or education may testify there too in the form of an opinion. Ms. Mikowski didn't possess that knowledge, skill, experience, training, and education. Her licensure didn't allow her to make diagnosis. You know, when she's an RN, she can look at someone, but she has to report back to a doctor what she saw. And then the doctor makes that diagnosis. Ms. Mikowski can't do that through being an RN.
Are you talking about specifically with regard to linear vascular congestion? Yes. And her opinion, right, in that regard?
Right. And also, her education's lacking. Like I said, she didn't have any advanced medical degree. She was an RN, and then she had a degree in a master's in health promotion or something like that. I think she said she used to work for Albertsons and kind of ran their health program. She didn't have an advanced medical degree like a PA or something like that that would give her that kind of specialized training. She just had simple RN, and then her master's wasn't a further advanced medical degree.
Counsel, though, are we Are we confusing identification of a condition as opposed to diagnosis of a cause? And I guess what I'm saying is, are you saying an RN, if I have a cut on my arm, can't say, that's a cut? You know, it seems like that's the difference. Now, she may not be able to say, that's a cut from a knife, or a cut from a paper, or a cut from 100 other causes. But are we really talking, and I think she testified that she couldn't make a diagnosis, but are we talking about observation versus diagnosis here?
Well, I think she did a diagnosis. It felt like, to me, she offered an opinion. This is linear vascular congestion, and this is what it's caused from, following things, right? And I think that there was an opinion.
Didn't one of the police officers testify to the same thing?
What's that?
Didn't one of the police officers testify to the same
thing? Yes, he did testify that he thought he saw it. He's the one that took the pictures.
Without objection.
Right. So he sees it, but then you've got a medical expert. He's just an officer. He's just a cop. He doesn't have any medical training. But then Sue Mikowski comes in and says, I'm an RN. I have all this training. I see this. This is what this could be. I think that's a little bit, carries more weight than an officer saying, this is what I saw in her eyes. It's the effect of her testimony. How about that?
Okay.
Okay. But I think also you have to look at her education's lacking. I said that. She's simply an RN with a master's, and then, master's in health promotion and human resources. More importantly, the thing that bothered, that was, I think, troubling was, is that she has not conducted any empirical studies that were submitted for peer review. She's done some kind of, like, some medical stuff, but she never did a specific study with a set group of, a pool of participants, gathered her results, and then submitted a paper on those results for peer review. And her education, I said, where she tried to talk about her continuing education, well, attendance at seminars where she had maybe breakout sessions where possibly strangulation was discussed hardly qualifies as continuing education. So I think I'm submitting to you that she doesn't meet 2702 as an expert, qualifies as an expert that can give expert testimony.
So your motion was kind of generic. Did you raise each of these individuals?
I feel like I did. When I crossed her about her training and experience, when we had the Daubert hearing, I think that's what that came out. I'll defer to the record. It's been a long time.
Right. Your position, though, is she wasn't qualified to testify in this case with regard to that particular condition.
Correct.
As opposed to the methodology or the application of the facts to methodology, you're not attacking that. You're just going right to her qualification.
Yes.
Okay.
Wasn't there also testimony that she trains medical students in this very thing? At both of the medical schools in Omaha?
As part of it. I don't think that she does a specific training, like this is all she does. Yeah, she said that, I'm trying to remember, this is where you got me, it's been a long time. She was, I think, and she, as part of their overall training, she discusses this with them, and it was specific to ER doctors, I think, and then she would discuss with them what she saw and that kind of thing. But she talks about
Let's turn over to the lack of notice issue.
Yes.
That you're alleging.
I know, I'm
in
the money. I was worried it was going to do that.
And so if I'm understanding the timeline that you've given us correctly, from the point at which you were aware that she was going to actually testify about her observations of the eyes, you had roughly 10 days to respond to that prior to trial.
Right. I found out she didn't testify to the eyes on the 26th, the day before, on our pretrial hearing.
All right. And so is the tell me, and I think you made a record of your efforts, both at that time and at the time of trial, with regard to that. What were the difficulties that cost you as in formulating your defense?
Well, I mean, I wanted to be able to plan into my defense an expert that could look at this. And I can't talk about, I mean, I know what some of my contact had said they would say, but that wasn't on the record, but is that I wanted them to look at this, this evidence, and offer counter testimony. And a lot of them testimony about what to confirm that kind of diagnosis or observation, I'm trying to be careful because I don't want to say stuff that's not on the record, but to look at it and offer a different perspective from a medical standpoint, and that's what I was looking at. It was difficult. The first expert that I had talked to was, he did want to help and then he didn't at the last minute and gave me short notice. So then I had to find someone else and the other person was unavailable because they're in a seminar in another state. So it was difficult to prepare a defense, especially when I'm trying to counter a opinion from Sue Mikowski, and I wanted to bring in someone that had a degree and training better or higher, more advanced than hers, that could offer some different testimony that would support our defense.
And not only a trial, but in connection with your Daubert hearing to assist
right.
you in that as well.
Right.
And just let me clarify, the 26th is when you learned that they were going to use an expert to testify with regard to this condition.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Correct.
The Daubert hearing was the 6th?
No, 4th. Well, we were going to take it up on the 27th during the pretrial motions. The court decided to grant and do a hearing with Mikowski there. We did that with her there, testifying about her qualifications over the 4th, and then finished it on the 6th.
And the trial began?
The 9th.
Okay.
So basically finished that Friday. We started the trial on Monday.
Thank you.
And, you know, part of that was because our victim was flying back from Czechoslovakia. She was arriving on the 6th. I took her deposition that morning. Meanwhile, you know, like I said, trying to find an expert and preparing at the same time.
I understand.
And that's the thing. Up until the 26th, all she was going to testify is dynamics of domestic violence, which he wasn't charged with. He was charged with strangulation. When it came to, I've looked at these pictures, and this is what they say, I think they support this, corroborate state's theory, that was, I thought, pretty devastating to our defense, and we needed to do something. I'm
Thank
way
you.
Into my time.
Thank
I'm
you.
Sorry.
How far over did we take this? If the state would like the additional time, certainly welcome to it.
I'll try not to use it. May it please the court, I'm Kimberly Klein, Assistant Attorney General, representing the state in this matter. Your Honors, if there's an abuse of discretion in this, it occurred in having a hearing on the Daubert motion at all. The motion was so exceedingly generic as to not even basically pretend to comply with what is required by Daubert. A Daubert motion isn't like a motion for new trial where you just need to basically burp out the statutory language and you're good to go. In a Daubert motion, you have to say what you think is lacking with respect to the validity and reliability of the evidence that the state is proposing to present, and none of that was done in this particular case. Nevertheless, they went ahead with the Daubert motion, and based on, Mikowski's testimony at that, she was found to be, it was found that her evidence would be of some assistance to the jury, and because I think the court also noted that she had qualified as an expert in both the domestic violence and the strangulation aspects in a prior case, State versus Cox, which is, I think, by now about 5 years old. Mikowski did not testify specifically about this particular case. She said she testified generically about the dynamics of domestic violence and that strangulation can be a part of that and how the strangulation factors into this. She said a lot of times a person, because there are no obvious signs of strangulation, they don't think that this is really a particularly dangerous situation, she said, but it can actually be. She was shown 4 photos by the state, and those 4 photos were simply of the victim's eyes. Now, Mikowski did not know that those were the victim's eyes, but she said, I look at these eyes, and based on my prior training and experience, I see linear vascular congestion in those eyes. On cross-examination, she said, there's a lot of conditions that can cause that. I don't know whose these are. I don't know what caused that in this case. All I can tell you is, based on my training and experience, this is what I'm seeing in these 4 photos.
Is it a fair characterization that you first revealed you were going to have her testify with regard to linear vascular congestion on the 26th of March in relation to the Daubert hearing and the trial?
That's my understanding of the record. It goes back a little further than that. On March 1st, the state indicated that they were going to call her as a witness, but I think, as the record shows, they were going to call her just with respect to the dynamics of domestic violence. I think as the case progressed on, the state said there was a phone call between the victim and the defendant at the jail wherein the victim says something about one of the officers had seen something in my eyes, basically the like bloodshot eyes, and that's what tripped the prosecutor into thinking, oh, there's something here, maybe a little more. So that's when they talked to and showed the photos of the victim's eyes to Michalski, and they said, okay, based on what she's telling us and based on what the victim has said, we're going to have her testify that this appears to be linear vascular congestion that she's seeing in these photos. We're not going to have her testify, and they did not have her testify, that this person was strangled resulting in linear vascular congestion. She just said, these photos show to me what appears to me to be that particular condition. I don't know what about that really requires a counter expert. I mean, I suppose you could bring somebody to say, no, I don't see that as linear vascular congestion, but I don't know that that really goes to the heart of the issue. The heart of the issue was whether or not the defendant grabbed her by the throat, pinned her to the wall by her neck, and strangled her. The linear vascular congestion is corroborative of that, but whether it's there or whether it's not there, and even Michalski said, you don't always get it when you've been strangled, and there are a bunch of other things that can cause it. It's not the gravamen of the offense. That came from the victim herself. So I don't know that. So really, not having a counter expert.
Counsel, if it is corroborative, though, I mean, otherwise, you take that away, though, we're kind of in a he said, she said scenario. Is that accurate of what the evidence would be?
Basically, there was some other evidence from some of the officers who testified as to her demeanor and that she was, you know, obviously upset. And I think they even said there was a little bit of redness on the throat, which, you know, would be corroborative that she had been grabbed by the throat. So it is one of a multitude of parcels, if you will, of evidence that go to the evidence of the strangulation in this. But in and of itself, it is not the alpha and omega of the evidence. It adds a bit to the case. The state wouldn't have offered it if it hadn't. But whether it was there, whether it wasn't there, I don't think that a counter expert would have added or subtracted much from the case. And therefore, I don't think that, with respect to the continuance, I don't think the district court abused its discretion in refusing to grant the continuance.
But isn't there some, is there some prejudice, though? Because, I mean, we're speculating about what another expert might have been able to say, but really just don't know.
Well, I think, based on what Michalski testified to, that's all. Let's call him a counter expert. That's all a counter expert could say is it's not linear vascular congestion. Okay, so you have two opposing views of the thing, and even if the jury throws them both out, you haven't. Neither side has really lost that much.
Well, the issue is whether or not it's material to the preparation, right? That's the issue before us as it relates to disclosing on the 26th. You have this expert, they're going to talk about this phenomena.
Right.
At that point in time, the defense has to try and find an expert to see if they can deal with the issue on a Daubert hearing, if it even is in the right ballpark as it relates to possibly being connected to this condition, preparing for trial. I mean, isn't that material to the preparation when you're going to utilize that in connection with your case in chief?
Again, it's material in that it's part of the evidence. It's not critically material because it's simply not all that great in evidence. I mean, yes, it is, and strangulation can cause it, but if you, again, it's just, you have, even if you have somebody saying, no, I don't see that as vascular congestion, linear vascular congestion, and Michalski says, yeah, it is, I don't know what caused it, it's some evidence. And it would have been better had this been disclosed earlier, but again, as far as Daubert, I don't know that that's necessarily a Daubert issue. She's an RN, she's a sane nurse. I don't think her training and experience clearly qualify her to say that this is what this condition appears to me. She's not entering a diagnosis. She knows she's not qualified to do that. But she says, I have seen this. This is what frequently causes it. This is what these photos appear to be to me. And that's all she said, really, about those particular, about those four photos. And I don't think that those really constitute all that critical a bit of evidence when you look at the entire case. Further, the as I understand the record, the Daubert hearing started on the 4th. It was recessed and basically reconvened on the 6th. In the intervening day on the 5th, the defendant moved to continue the trial because of the Daubert issue. But at that point in time, the victim was literally winging her way back to the United States from the Czech Republic. And that has to factor into the court's decision whether or not to issue a continuance in the trial, too. I mean, I don't know that we have the figures. I didn't really look for them. But a plane ticket from Prague to Lincoln can't be an inexpensive proposition, I wouldn't think.
But wasn't that caused in part by the delay in the... Kind of hard to say to the defendant, we're not going to grant you a continuance because you're already on the plane. Well, but...
That's true, but I think what you have to, part of what has to be factored into this is, and the district court can only deal with what it has before it at that point in time. You know, it obviously hasn't heard the entirety of the evidence, but it has to make some sort of, you know, evaluation of how important this evidence is that they want to stop the entire process for so they can find a counter expert to it. In the grand scheme of things. And in the grand scheme of things, I think the district court correctly determined that this isn't that critical a bit of evidence. Yes, it's some evidence that what she is saying happened, but there is other evidence of it. There's other physical evidence of it. Plus, there is her testimony of it. Whether there is or is not going to be a counter expert to say that this isn't what the state's expert says it is not going to make or break anybody's case in the long run. I think that's the kind of, under these circumstances, I think that's an analysis that needs to be undertaken, along with the rest of, you know, whether or not it's going to be, you know, critically prejudicial to his case, which I think clearly it is. It was not. I don't think that the district court abused its discretion in refusing to grant the continuances under these particular circumstances. If there are no further questions, I believe the rest of the issues we've addressed in our brief, and we would ask that the judgment be affirmed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The case is submitted. Council is excused. Concludes our June session.